Curious. You would make an excellent cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Join the community at Cephalon Squared on Twitter and Facebook, or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. Now, sit back and enjoy the show. Here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day Cephalon Collective, welcome to episode 17 of Cephalon Squared. I am your host, Cephalon Greg, and as always I'm joined by the ever wonderful Cephalon Lucas. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great. It's been a good day, it's been a great week. A lot of new interesting things to delve into with the Warframe universe, so fantastic. Excited.
Let's face it, it's been a freaking awesome weekend for PC players at least, because Fortuna was released. So, there's you know, like we were saying before, Lucas, there's really only one thing that we can talk about on this episode.
Clem.
And that is Clem. So we've decided to spend this entire episode talking about Clem and Grakata. Grakata. So, buckle up. No, of course we're going to be talking about Fortuna. One of us has had the opportunity to actually play it. The other one has had the opportunity to watch a shitload of YouTube videos and my stream, which, let's face it, wasn't that great for reasons we'll go into a little bit later. So yes, this is the Fortuna episode. It's pretty damned exciting. We'll get into it. Let's start with the news, though. Realistically, the news was this week that Fortuna launched. There was some stuff that happened prior to the launch, but really it was all just announcements upon announcements, teasers, things like that. There was the ARG came to an end as we expected. You now can put in the codes and you only have one or two more days to do so. So depends when you're listening to this episode, but go to our website, cephalonsquared.com. One of the latest articles there will tell you what the codes are, but it's the same for all platforms. It's Earson, E-A-R-S-O-N, that will get you the cache, and technical flip kick or something, I can't even remember what it is, I should have prepared, will get you the scroll for the K drive only on PC. The Xbox and PS4 scroll, and probably Switch, will come later. But yeah, easiest way is to jump onto our website, cephalonsquared.com, and find that article, because that will, there's a link to the promo codes where you can put it in, and it's got the accurate details there. But like I said, it ends November 12th, which will be the 13th on my side of the world. Anyway, the news. Fortuna dropped. Apart from that, Warframe partners all announced pretty much over the weekend, yesterday and today, that they're all going to, not all of them, but most of them are going to the DE office this week to check out the Switch version, because the Switch version releases next week. Not this week, but on Tuesday, it'll be 1 week from then. So at the time of recording, it's like 9 days till the Switch version releases.
Any specific date? Or are you just gonna make it very vague and...
Just teasing people. Well, given that this Tuesday is the 13th of November... 7 days after that makes the release date November 20th. Just putting that out there. But, you know, just to save you from doing maths, November 20th is the day that it's releasing, which has been announced before. But, it's just interesting that we really haven't heard anything about anything with regard to the Switch version. When it comes out, what is the update going to be? Is it going to come out with Fortuna? And PS4 and Xbox has to wait a little bit until their versions get through cert. That could be interesting, because that might happen. I've been saying it for a while now, but I think it would be silly of DE and Nintendo to release the Switch version of Warframe without Fortuna, because that's what everyone's excited about. And if people suddenly jump onto Warframe on the Switch and go, huh? The hell? Where's this bloody hoverboard everyone was talking about? It might cause a bit of confusion. So I guess we'll hear a little bit about that later in the week. There'll probably be a dev stream before it comes out next week, I would imagine. And hopefully they'll tell us about what's going to happen with the account migration as well, because they've been silent on that front for the last month, which is fair because they've been focusing on Fortuna. Apart from that, the Twitch drops that were supposed to be happening alongside Fortuna, so basically what you're supposed to do is watch anyone for any Warframe stream, doesn't need to be a partner, any Warframe stream, for at least an hour, and you'd get all sorts of cool little Twitch drops, including Cora and Nidus, or potentially Cora or Nidus, and a whole bunch of other things, but they haven't really been working. People haven't been getting them for every hour they've been watching. You watched for like 9 hours the other day, Lucas, and got three or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, two. I got two. Watched for 9 hours and only got two. So that was quite disappointing. Hopefully it'll be fixed sometime soon. And if not, well then, they're sure to redo the Twitch drops again when the Fortuna finally hits console, as they did last year for Planes of Eidolon.
Exactly. They always acknowledge, they generally will acknowledge that, hey, this didn't happen the way they wanted it to, and they'll come up with a fix, but it has been a bit disappointing for some people. There hasn't been any response from DE as yet, because let's face it, they've been fixing, doing all the hot fixes for Fortuna. They've got other things to worry about right now, but they've been doing a great job. There's already been two or three hot fixes in the 2 days since it came out. Apart from that, as expected, there have been a record-breaking number of players on Steam. Now, unfortunately, while Play Warframe, the Twitter account, did mention this, they never actually gave the numbers. So I did have a look. The peak was 135,000, so that must be the new record for them, which put them at number three at the time, behind the usuals, Dota and Dota 2 and PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, which I'm surprised is still number two. But anyway, it is kicking ass, basically. Anything else to add, Lucas?
Actually, there is one more thing to add. The Prime Vaults will be opening on November the 13th with Mag and Nova Prime. I'm looking at the Magnetic Mayhem Dual Prime Pack features now, and there is 1200 Platinum, Nova Prime, Mag Prime, Soma Prime, Boar Prime, the Darkra Prime, the Vasto Prime, the Edo Prime armor set, the Amarco Prime Sindana, Distilling Extractor Prime Blue Plus Blueprint, Valorum Prime Sigil, and Prime Glyphs to go around.
I have no idea how I missed that, because I wrote about it just yesterday and posted it on the site. So yeah, my bad, but you're right. The Prime Vault is opening again. And I was saying to someone the other day, the other Prime Vault just ended in September. It's only 2 months later, another one's happening. I mean, last year there was like 7 or 8 months between Prime Vaults, and this year there's only two. It's interesting sort of what's going on with regards to that. Maybe they're trying to fix, so to speak, in inverted commas, the market. Maybe there's too much platinum going around, or there's not enough platinum going around. I don't know. But
the last one was Nyx and Rhino, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that came a little bit late. I think it started in July, so it might have finished in August.
Yeah. Oh, no complaints here.
I'm not going to complain. No, of course.
All the extra little prime pieces will be available again in their respective relics. And, of course, there will be... How many packs? Let's see. Mag Prime Accessory Pack, Nova Prime Accessory Pack, the Mag Prime Pack, Nova Prime Pack, and the Magnetic Mayhem Dual Prime Pack. So 5 different packs to go through.
Yeah, which will be awesome. I'm just looking forward to the Dacra Prime, although I am interested in that bloody sigil.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Which pisses me off, because...
More money spent.
I have to buy a friggin' accessories pack. It really kind of annoys me, to be honest. I've already spent a shitload of money on this game, and to be forced to have to spend it every time they come out with an accessories pack is a bit annoying. There should be a way to earn that stuff. But I guess, at the same time, you know, if there's a way to earn absolutely everything in the game, then maybe they wouldn't have as many people actually buying things. So it's probably a slippery slope. Not a slippery slope, but a sharp edge that they're sort of treading. If they fall one way, they could lose all of the people who are buying things. If they fall the other, then, you know, they do the wrong thing by people. So it's probably hard for them to sort of tread that line. But anyway, that's just me complaining a little bit. On to the discussion. Clem and Grecada. No, Fortuna. So it released at about 7 a.m. Friday morning for us here in Australia, which was really both the perfect time and the worst time. The perfect time because I got up early, I watched Steve's pre-release stream, I downloaded it immediately, but bad because I then had to go to work. So it sucked a fair bit, and I was looking at our Discord as I was watching a lot of our American friends who, you know, it really released at a perfect time for them because it was probably, you know, just in the evening, and they were all playing all throughout the day while I was working hard on work stuff. But you, Lucas, what did you get to do?
I got to sit down and watch some Twitch streams.
That wasn't too bad.
That wasn't too bad. It gives me an idea of just how things play out, and you know, giving me a little bit of an idea of how things in Fortuna work. And and to be honest, I cannot wait. This will be my Christmas present.
So I had a bit of a an issue. So when Fortuna actually opened up, I was all excited because I thought, you know what, I've reached Venus, I've gotten past Venus, I'm there already. But when I looked at it, I hadn't unlocked the nodes before Fortuna, so I had to do a couple of pain in the ass missions to get there. But my PC account is still really low. I'm only MR3, and I still haven't even got my Arcwing. There's a lot I haven't done. There's a lot I haven't collected, especially mods and things like that, because I haven't really done the grind. So while I did get into Fortuna, I didn't have good stuff. And I'm going to go into that a little bit later, so I won't go into it into too much detail now. But what did I do? Because we've got a podcast and we've got you listeners who, I guess, want to hear certain things. Now, for the PS4 and Xbox players, we're not going to go into story spoilers because there is a little bit of story at the start of Fortuna, and it is pretty interesting. They've actually done a better job, I think, than of introducing Fortuna than they did last year with introducing Plains of Eidolon.
That goes without saying. Yeah. It is a lot better of an introduction. You know, Plains of Eidolon was their first attempt. It was a great first attempt, but looking at how Fortuna plays out so far, it's leaps and bounds better. So
it really is.
Second time around, they've done an amazing job.
Yeah, and I was tossing up whether or not we should talk about too many of the details about Fortuna, but the truth is, most of the information about Fortuna was actually released before it came out. We already knew about hoverboards, K-drives. We already knew about most of the vendors. We knew about mower companions. We knew about kick guns. We pretty much knew about everything beforehand. So I don't think we need to really hold back on talking about things. So if you are an Xbox or a PS4 player and you don't want to hear about Fortuna, and you don't plan on watching any streams or anything like that because you want to go in completely blind, then, you know, maybe skip the next 20 minutes. But I don't think there's any need to if you've heard anything about Fortuna. And if you've been listening to our podcast, then we've talked a shitload about Fortuna. So what did I do? I bought the big Garuda pack. I didn't screw around. I bought the big one that had everything in it because I wanted access to Garuda. I wanted access to her weapons. I wanted to be able to talk to you people about this stuff. What's good, what's bad. And that means I also bought a mower using platinum, and I also bought a kit gun. So I basically got everything so that I could try everything out, and I bought a K-drive as well. So I can basically go into it. Did you want to mention anything? Your first impressions, Lucas?
First impressions? Wow. It's fantastic. I will be also buying this pack the second it hits console. Yeah, Garuda looks amazing. From what I've seen of her gameplay, just absolutely fantastic. Her weapon, I'm a bit of a fan of the crossbows in Warframe, so I'm really looking forward to her her crossbow, especially with its alt fire mechanism. And just, yeah, there's so much that I'm really looking forward to this.
Yeah. So Garuda, we'll go into her, I guess, in future weeks anyway, but I don't think I'm far off the mark from saying that I have now maxed her finally, and she's probably easily one of my favorite frames. All of her abilities really synergize, to use one of your words, Lucas. They synergize very well, extremely well, almost too well. There's no ability that you will not use. And her fourth has been changed considerably. So in the past, where it was just a blender of knives, of swords, now you charge it up. So as you're charging, a bubble that surrounds Garuda gets larger. Any enemy that's within that bubble when you release the charge will be attacked by her swords. And if it doesn't kill them, it'll leave them with a slash proc that will actually also disable them. So they won't be able to move until the slash proc stops procking. So it's a really good ability. Very, very useful when you're surrounded in a crowd. Garuda's just amazing. And I'm looking forward to when I get her on console and I have actual mods that I can build her with. So the biggest problem I have with all of the weapons and everything that I got, and the mower and the kick gun and everything, I don't have mods. So my kick gun, for example, has Hornet Strike on it and Fast Hands. And that's it. Because that's all I've got. I think I've got like Bane of Grineer and things like that, but that's all I've got. My mower has nothing, only the mods that it comes with. So I'm in a bit of a tough place between actually being able to talk about the weapons. Garuda is fantastic. I can say that unreservedly. I've got plenty of vitality and redirection and those kind of mods, so I can make a fairly rudimentary build for Garuda that works. But her crossbow, I just couldn't get a build that was comfortable with, so I can't say whether it's good or bad. I think it was okay. The secondary, the Oculor, is really good at low levels, but again, it didn't scale because of the mods that I've got into it, so I can't say how good it is at the higher levels. The melee weapon, I forgot what it's called, it's a machete. That weapon didn't really do a great job, but again, I didn't have the mods. However, the Batacore, which is the third sentient weapon that comes with...
Sentient Corpus Hybrid.
Sentient Corpus Hybrid, really, is the way of putting it, that comes with Fortuna. It doesn't come with Garuda, really. It comes with Fortuna. Is amazing. Probably, and I was saying this to Lucas earlier today, it might have just jumped to one of my favorite rifles. Straight to the top. It's really good. We'll go into why later. I'll let people find it and play with it. But here's a tip. You can't build it until you've built the other two. So you have to build the melee weapon first, then you have to build the secondary, then you can build the Batacore. You have to build them in order, and you have to do all the research within your dojo in order to build them. So in order to get the Batacore, unless you buy the bundle like I did, it's going to take you a minimum of 9 days if you've got all the research ready to go. So just keep that in mind, plus the building. It's going to take you a while to get there, but I do recommend it. The grind, I think, is very similar to Planes of Eidolon. DE did say that they wanted to change it up and make it a bit easier. I suppose I need to get a little bit further into the grind to be able to say whether it is easier, but so far it doesn't feel like it is. You still need to guild your kick guns. You still need to guild your mowers. That's a little bit of a pain in the ass. You don't need to guild K drives. In fact, all of the parts that you can get for your K drives don't affect the stats they're only cosmetic, and I really like that about the K-Drive. So you can build something that looks good to you. Doesn't matter what the stats are, and the stats all are based on the mods that you put into it. It looks like you need to get the mods by grinding the Vent Kid's reputation. So the last thing I guess I'll talk about before I let Lucas talk about the things that really impressed him is mowers. I bought one. I forgot what it's called, but I bought the one that has the tractor beam and the hacker override abilities. I didn't find him a very useful little dude. And, you know, I'm not going to make a final call on him until I've been able to play with him with some good mods, etc. But I found that the tractor beam just tended to pull enemies in closer so that they were able to do more damage to you. Thanks, little guy. And the hacker override didn't do anything at all. So maybe there's something I wasn't doing that meant that didn't happen. But your master from our Discord did give me some useful information. He actually made the other two. So there's three models of mowers that you can make, and it's the heads that decide what the abilities are. So he and one of his friends actually made the other two. So he basically said, okay, the one he made is the para, I think it was called. Looks a bit like it's got a beak, like a bird. That has anti-grav grenades and tether grenades. And he said that the anti-grav grenades are pretty good. It just means that the enemies float directly straight up and they just float in the air, which I think is a really useful ability. And the tether actually tethers a lot of enemies. So that sounds like it could be fun.
So essentially you can turn enemies into helium balloons.
Yeah, it can. Nice. The top hat dude, he has a 60% damage reduction bubble, and I think it also slows down the bullets that enter the bubble. He said it was okay, it was helpful, but it was a bit small. And that little dude also has an electric stomp, so it stomps enemies and sends them flying and electrocutes them a bit, which has a much bigger area of effect. So it sounds like those two guys are the better options for mowers. Again, I really need to look into mine before I go on, but thanks to your master for providing that information so that we could give that over the podcast. But apart from that, riding the K-Drive is everything you kind of expected it to be. It's not as easy as maybe you think it is. It's not quite as easy as Tony Hawk, but it is really fun, and it's an amazing addition to the game. The caves are glorious. They're gorgeous. They're easy to get lost in, some of the big ones, but so far I haven't really found them to be much different gameplay-wise. And the facilities, the big buildings that you can get into, are huge, and they're extremely easy to get lost in. In fact, some of those buildings are probably as big as missions that you get in the game, standard missions. So they're absolutely huge, really impressive stuff. In fact, it's not really a spoiler to say that the bounties now are not just simple go kill this guy bounties. They're actually spies, they're actually excavations, they're all sorts of different things. So they've managed to fit smaller versions of mission types into the bounties, which is really impressive. And I really enjoyed that. What things did you want to call out that you've enjoyed so far, Lucas?
Well, you just called out one of them, one of the big ones for me. The fact that they've introduced new mission types into an open map. I think that's fantastic, especially the fact that they've now done spies. A lot of people, I can speak for myself and a few people from our Discord, that spies are lackluster nowadays, and I think this may actually help kind of revitalize the old mission type and make a few people reconsider some of their old stealth frames. So I'm looking forward to that. That's fantastic. Excavations in an open world environment, also amazing. I didn't see because I saw you do one, but I didn't see. Did you actually get cryptotic from it?
Cryotic?
No, you didn't get cryotic.
No, I don't think I did. And the interesting thing about the excavations there is they're fucking hard. They're not just simple, standard excavations. two drop at the same time and you have to try and defend two. If there's two or three or four of you in a group, easy peasy. But when it's just yourself, my God. I'll go into that a little bit later.
The weapons look amazing. I'm already a big fan of the Batacore after watching you play around with that. After telling you to play around with that for a bit. So that already looks amazing. I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on that. Garuda, her double passive, fantastic. Really excited for Garuda. K drives, they all look amazing. I'm really looking forward to you know, throwing my own pieces together to model my own K drive and just play with all the cosmetics, all the different little tidbits, the kit guns, the mowers, the K drives. I need this now.
Yeah, and I guess that's the hardest part for me as well, because I really want to play it, and I want to play it a lot, but there's a lot of things I actually need to do on my PC account. I need to get my Arcwing, because I need to be able to, as good as the K-Drive is, sometimes it'll be useful to be able to fly over the mountains, rather than try and jump over them on your K-Drive. Arcwings will make things a little bit easier for certain things. I do find K-Drive much more enjoyable. But it would be nice to have my K drive, and it'd be nice to have a hell of a lot more mods and things like that. So I'm kind of torn now, because do I want to really start grinding on the PC account to try and get some stuff, which kind of, yes, I do, or do I just want to leave it and go back to my PS4 account and grind that for a bit? It'd be nice to know whether or not I can port my PC account over to my Switch, because if I knew that now, then I'd just keep grinding. But yeah, I'm at a little bit of a loss for what I want to do there. It's a good position for me to be in, because I can actually play it. Sorry, Lucas.
Fight me. I could play it, but my toaster of a PC would be incredibly laggy, and I don't think I'd enjoy it. So best bet for me is just to wait for a console release.
Yeah. Have you turned, I mean, this is a stupid question, but have you turned down all of the graphics options on your potato?
Oh, I have turned down all the graphics options.
It's still painful.
It's still incredibly painful. I managed to do the tutorial mission and then shut it down because it was terrible.
Yeah. Because Warframe really does work on shitty PCs. Like I said, I play on a Surface Pro.
Yeah.
It's not even a good Surface Pro. It's the entry level with the freaking M something processor, and it still bloody works. But recently I've been streaming it over Steam from my good computer, and that works amazingly. If you have ever thought about trying it in your house, because like me, sometimes it's hard to get to your good PC, try it. It fucking works. I recommend it. High touch. All right, so we could talk about Fortune all night. It really is a very, very good update. And thanks to DE for giving us that, because it's amazing. The map, they talked a lot about the map. They said it was 3 to 4 times larger than Plains of Eidolon. I don't think it is, to be honest. I'd be struggling to suggest that it's even as large as 2 times Plains of Eidolon. But it's hard to say, because you are moving much faster with the K drive and things like that. I don't know. I can't comment on the size, but it doesn't seem to be that much bigger. But there are more areas to explore, and maybe they're saying that it's bigger because you've got the different facilities that you can go into, and you've got the caves underground that you can go into.
That's quite possible. That
added up results in, you know, massive areas to explore, which it really does.
Yeah, that's quite possible, because I mean, Plains of Eidolon didn't really have a lot of areas to explore. I mean, they've got about 3 or 4 underground areas, and they're not that large and not that interesting. So basically, you go there once, and yeah, you've seen one cave, you've seen them all. But with Fortuna, it's you've seen one cave. Where the fuck's the next one?
Exactly. They're gorgeous too. And of course, I didn't talk about the conservation, the track and trank. It's still not 100% perfect. I think they could probably do some tweaking on it to make it a little bit better. I'm sure people that are colorblind would probably struggle to see the tracking elements, because I struggle to see them, and you know I'm not colorblind, so I just imagine that it must be harder for those people. So I think there's a little bit of work to do to improve it, but wow, it's really fun. Really, really fun.
Funny to watch.
Amazingly fun. And funny to watch. Thank you. And the floofs are so cute. I still don't have one, but I want one. Anyway, let's move on before we end up talking for hours upon hours, because we do have a community guest star this week. So it's been a little while since we had one, but this young gentleman, Jack, reached out to us. Gentleman Jack? reached out to us a fair while ago. And asked to be on the show, and we just haven't been able to get him on. But now we have, and he's probably lucky enough to be on the Fortuna episode, because he's also a PC player and he has had a chance to play it, so we'll get to hear what he has to say as well. So over to Jack from the... where is he from? The Facebook group and Discord, and we go into all that anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back in a sec. Okay, we have Jack from our Discord and Facebook page and all sorts of things, who is joining us this week for our community guest star. We haven't had anyone on for a few weeks because all sorts of stuff has happened, and we've screwed Jack around several times. So apologies, Jack, but thanks for coming on the show.
No worries. Happy to be here.
Welcome to the show.
Very glad to have you. Yes. Tell us who you are, what you do. You are pretty active on the Discord, and we love that. Thank you very much. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your Warframe career, so to speak.
Sounds good. So I first heard about the game back in 2014. I thought, oh, that sounds grindy as heck. I'm going to play this other game, League of Legends. That's not grindy. Then came around, and League got really, really boring for me. So I was like, let's look into some other free-to-play games. I saw this one called Warframe. I was like, oh, I remember hearing about that. Let's download that. Downloaded it, played it for a few days, and got really confused. But then a few weeks passed, and some of my friends were playing it again. I was like, why not? And then I got hooked, and I've been playing ever since.
Yeah, and you're on PC, as we know, because you're in our Discord.
Yeah, I am. User,
and you're about to hit your 100 days.
Yep,
that was you.
Cool. Yep, that's me.
What are you gonna get your license? Right now.
I don't even know. Yep,
the 100 days now, you get to choose between the Zenistar, the Asthma, and the what's the auto rifle called?
Zenith. Yeah. Yes.
I'll probably take the Asthma because I'm still looking for a secondary that I like. So
yeah, the Asthma's a lot of fun.
It is a good weapon. It really is. Cool. So what, you said you were MR12, was it?
Yes.
So what's your favorite? I'm just asking all the questions here. Sorry, Lucas. You asked the question. Go on. I'm all right here.
Tell us about your favorite frame.
So if you've listened to me at all in Discord, you'll know that I am a great Limbo aficionado.
We won't hold that against you. Well, Lucas won't, that's for sure. I might.
I have
a little of a gentleman.
Lucas loves his gentleman.
Yeah, Limbo is really cool. I love his kit. I love his looks, and he's just a blast to play, and he's just easy mode for sorties.
Yes, oh, yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Can't disagree.
Yeah, no, definitely can't disagree there. Easy mode for just about any mission, realistically.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on the Grax Limbo skin? It's just a little bit of curiosity.
I currently don't own it, but I was looking at it, and it looks all right. I really like the Limbo Prime, though. That just... It looks like the Magician Supreme, like the I like the look.
Fair yeah, Limbo enough. Prime definitely looks better than standard Limbo. And I'm a big fan of Limbo Grax, to be honest. He looks kind of like a commandeer or something, some sort of navy dude.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So he finally looks a bit like a gentleman to me. Cool. What about weapons?
I'm a big lens fan. I just love shooting it off and hopping into it. It's like, oh, I just died. Whoops. No matter what happens, it's always fun.
Yeah, it is. But your friends have to keep reviving you.
Yeah.
Well,
if you're me.
I mean, it goes pretty well comboed with Limbo. Get yourself caught, just dash, and you're safe.
Yep. And in terms of like secondaries, like I said earlier, still trying to find one I like. I've been using the Xylock, and that one's got a nice feel to it. But other than that, it's like, these are okay. And then just melee.
There are a lot of good secondaries. It just takes a bit of experimentation, I think.
Yeah.
Sounds too about many right. Melee weapons.
Yeah. I basically just use whichever one I'm currently leveling up for MR.
Yeah, I feel you, brother. All right. Where are we? So usually we'd ask about the current state of the game, but the current state of the game's just changed, and you're a PC player, so I know you've already been into Fortuna. What are your thoughts?
I have indeed. Fortuna's no spoilers. Really cool.
I'll chuck that out there.
But yeah, Fortuna is really cool. Compared to like the Plains, I really like the different dynamic. Like the frosty environment is really cool. I think it was shown on one of the streams, but your Warframe will frost over if you're out there for long enough, and that's like a real cool detail. Basically, all the details in Fortuna are just brilliant, and they did a really good job with it. And then like just the inside base itself is a lot easier to navigate than Cetus. Cetus is all like those tents and you can kind of like, I don't know where to go, what's going on. Where Fortuna's like, here's the big doors, these lead outside, here's all the people, they're marked on your map, they're all separate, they're on the walls. So yeah.
It's just a big rectangle, really.
Yeah. But I like that. It's nice and sorted and it gives you everything you need to do and it makes it all really easily accessible. So, all run in my book. There's obviously a few bugs, but none of them incredibly game breaking. So,
yeah, there's always going to be bugs. It's a massive, massive update. Lucas, got any questions?
I just wanted to throw something in there. I mean, I guess with them being of the corpus variety, it kind of explains why there's a lot more structure to the hub. So, no, that's that's good that they've done that. That it's more structured, easy to find things. That's great. Is there any particular thing about Fortuna right now that you're really enjoying?
All of the new enemy types in the Orb Valis. You would go out and it's like, oh, these are all just reskins of Moas and crewmen, but they just have such unique abilities and it just feels like you're on a completely new area. And honestly, even the lower level ones are difficult. You just hop in, it's like, oh, this dude's flying in the air and shooting a laser at me. What's going on?
Yeah, and it not only does it shoot the laser at you, but it pushes you back. Sorry.
Yeah, everyone and everything has some sort of displacement, it feels like.
Yeah, it's really cool. Lucas got to watch my displeasure last night.
Unfortunately, I was sleeping. Otherwise, I definitely would have watched.
Oh, it was a good laugh. It was a very good laugh.
Not for me. I was pretty pissed off. But anyway, that's life. I'll jump on there again tonight while you're sleeping. So, cool. Yeah, no, Fortuna's really good. I still haven't been into any of the caves or into any of the big... what do you call them? The
bases.
Yeah. Thank you. Easy word. My brain doesn't work at the best of times.
It's just so huge. Hopefully, yeah. I'll have done so by the time we record the episode that everyone is probably listening to right now, but we haven't yet recorded while we're doing this. So I should be able to have a bit of a conversation about that. I probably already have. after the discussion.
The future.
Yes. So do you have a surprise discussion topic for us?
I do. So in discussing Warframe, we're all talking about the end game, and some people think it's fashion frame and some people think it's arbitrations, but I think it's really about what weapon has the best kick. So my discussion is asking you guys, what weapons do you feel have the best feel to them? I'm gonna start off.
That's giving a really good question.
Giving a one primary, one secondary, one melee. So for my primary, I have to go with the hack. Just that staticky crunch when you shoot someone with it. Just so beautiful. Yeah, that's a big one for me. Then for the secondary, I said before, I like the Zylock. It's got that 1-2 punch, and both the shots feel real smooth, especially when you shoot them in quick succession. And for melee, I'm a fan of the Broken War. It's got a nice slashing sound, nice ka-chunk as it hits into people. Feels great.
Okay. Interesting. What's your thoughts, Lucas?
Ooh, this is a tough one. I might work backwards. I'm gonna start with melee. And I'm gonna say it's a real tough one. I love my melee weapons. I want to cheat and just say Zors, but
I had that feeling. I felt it inside me, deep inside me.
But I think I'm actually going to say the Meos, the infested blade and chain. I quite enjoy the animation that it has. It's like an opening dragon mouth kind of thing, and it has very much a Soul Calibur feel to it. And yeah, it looks glorious. It feels glorious, just tearing enemies apart with this infested looking blade. It's just great. Secondaries. Again, I want to cheat and say Euphona, but instead I'm going to say Zakti. it's quite appealing, the whole hit an enemy with a dart and watch it explode and deal status damage to everyone nearby, or even just shoot it at a wall as an enemy's running past and watch the backfire smack them in the face. It's great. It's fantastic. primary. Now, that's a real difficult one. So many good ones. I mean, the Sybaris, the Tiburon, Tigris.
Pick one, Lucas.
One, damn it. Curse my indecisive.
Do it.
I
have faith in you.
Now I'm having a fucking mind blank and I can't think of the name. God damn it. What's Oh, shit, name.
What kind of weapon is it?
Crossbow.
Yep. Oh, the fuck. Yeah, okay.
Not
I know the crossbow you're talking about.
Not the Zouge, the other one.
I've got nothing.
Starts with an A. Crossbow Warframe. Come on, Google. it's Attica.
Attica. Yeah. I do enjoy the crossbows in the game. They have done a brilliant job with them. It's a shame they don't get used as often as I think they should. I'm looking forward to the new crossbow to hit console because it looks amazing. But at the moment, the Attica is it's a guilty pleasure of mine. I quite enjoy using the Attica.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, Greg, your turn.
Right. This is easy. I've had plenty of time to think. So I'm going to start with primary. I was thinking the heck when you first said it because it just does have such a good feel. But I'm going to say the Boar Prime because the Boar it's just got such a nice punch to it, like a bloody hydraulic freaking concrete drill. And it's because you hold the button down, it's just a
like an automatic shotgun. It's beautiful. I love it. Secondary, I'm going to say the Hikoa Prime, because those things, you're just firing a million little shuriken out at dudes and tearing them to shreds, and it hits like a friggin' truck and destroys everything. I love those little things. And lastly, I was going to say the Corpus Glaive, the new one, the Felcor, but I haven't used it enough to say for sure. So I will just go back and say the I'm going to say I really enjoy the Boomerang. I forgot what it's called.
Oh, the Kestreg? No.
Kestreg, yeah. So that that little dude is just fun because it's a boomerang. It's essentially a glaive. It's a boomerang. I'm Australian, so I'll say I enjoy the boomerang. And yeah, I just like running around with a secondary equipped and having this thing flying around, especially when I'm using Saren, for obvious reasons. Good question.
Yeah.
I hope we satisfied you.
Thank you. No, yes. I've got a whole list of new weapons to try out now.
Yeah, and apologies to everyone because Lucas wasted your time with the Attica. Okay. Can't take you anywhere.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You just feel it.
Fair enough. All right, so we'll end it there because I'm sure this episode is going to be massive this weekend. But thank you, Jack. Did you want to mention your PC name as
sure
well?
Thing. So yeah, I'm Lord Frizon, LordFrizon on PC, Discord, Twitter, Twitch. You can follow and friend me on all of those.
Yes, you will see us, and we do talk to Jack a lot on Discord and everywhere, really. So thanks, Jack, for being a really good and active member of our community. We love it.
Well, thank you guys for making the community.
Yeah, no worries. Let's keep growing.
Keep growing.
All right. Indeed. Thanks, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you. See ya.
Thanks to Jack for reaching out to us and being our community guest star this week. And keep in mind that you can reach out to us in any number of ways to be that person. There's a little bit of a line now, so there's two or three people waiting to be our community guest star. So that's fantastic. We'll have more people coming over the next few weeks. But if you do want to be our community guest star, you can jump onto our website. There's a form either on our Contact Us or our About Us page. No. The podcast page that you can fill out to say, hey, I want to do it. Otherwise, just reach out to us on Discord or Facebook or any other medium. Yeah. We're not going to bite you.
What?
Or often. Well, maybe once.
Thanks again, Jack. That was a good discussion, really enjoyable. And it, as I say quite often, it's always great to have an opportunity to talk with our listeners and get their perspective on things. So thanks again.
Exactly. He was a gentleman and a scholar. So thanks to Jack. And he's really active in our Discord community, which is, I think I said while I was talking to him, and that is very much appreciated. Anyway, on to the beginner topic for this week. Now, I was planning to do a different beginner topic, but after playing through Fortuna, I realized that there's a perfect thing to do in the Fortuna episode, and that is an introduction to Fortuna. Now, that's not an introduction to the story or anything like that, but it's basically a warning. So a couple of weeks ago, as part of our discussion topic, we talked about how you'd need to gear up for Fortuna and what you might need to do. Now, having played it, I can see that it's maybe we maybe weren't as accurate as we could have been. If you've played through the Plains of Eidolon and you were a new player and you went to Cetus and you talked to Khonzu and Khonzu said, hey, go off and do this bounty, come back. The bounty that he sends you on as an introduction to Cetus is really quite easy. You'll finish it, you'll get done, you'll move on, you'll continue your trek through Cetus. I think the good thing is that DE has decided to pull Fortuna out of the critical path. So if you don't want to go to Fortuna, but you want to keep plowing through Venus and unlocking Mercury and moving on, you can do it without going to Fortuna. You don't, to my knowledge at least, you don't have to pass through Fortuna in order to unlock the Venus to Mercury junction. And that is good because the introductory story to Fortuna is actually quite difficult. I say it's quite difficult because, keep in mind, I am a beginner player on PC. I don't have any mods. I actually took Garuda and the Naguntaka and the Oculor and whatever the melee weapon is, all level 0 and all with pretty much no mods on, because I'm only mastery rank 3 and only had 6 capacity, and I had no mods anyway. I went in with that and I got my ass kicked, and Lucas laughed at me a lot because I was streaming. Suffice it to say, it took me probably 10 to 15 tries before I finally got through the whole initial story, and there's probably 4 or 5 different missions that you get sent off on. I think the first one out of them was the one that gave me the most trouble. Once I got through the first one, I pretty much smashed through the others. Maybe 1 or 2, tripped me up. But that first one was just really hard. And it's because you get overwhelmed and you need to be able to protect a drone for a certain amount of time. It's basically a defense, but you really do get overwhelmed. And if you're not protecting that drone, it'll get destroyed. And that's why I failed. You know, sometimes I would die 5 times and fail, but often I was just failing to protect the drone because I didn't have weapons that were able to, that had enough DPS to kill stuff. So my beginner tip for this week is don't go into Fortuna with underleveled stuff. The enemies, what were they, Lucas? They were only enemy level 10, weren't they?
8. Enemy level 8.
8. There were only 8. They weren't even massive, but they destroyed me. And I guess part of the issue is, for me at least, so maybe it won't apply to others down the track, but for me, part of the problem was they've introduced new corpus enemies, and they act differently. So I couldn't go in and shoot the corpus in the same way that I have been for the last 1.5 years, because they're not the same. There's jetpacks dudes that fire friggin' lasers at you that push you back. And I hate them. And I want to headbutt their stupid faces. I think that's the one that Steve Sinclair said that they refer to as Laserface. And I can understand why. Because Laserface is a prick. But yeah, so there's the overwhelming factor. There's the fact that some of those enemies were really tough and they had a lot of shield. And my weapons just weren't doing enough damage fast enough to be able to take them down. Plus, you get attacked by a couple of little jackals as well that aren't easy to take down, and they have a shitload of armor. So I guess I went in with the wrong frame, but the only other frame I had was mag. So I wasn't really in a good position to be able to smash through it, and I'm not sure how easy or accessible Fortuna will be for new players. So that is my beginner topic for today. Fortuna may not be terribly accessible for new players because of that introductory mission. So don't let it get you down. Just smash through a few more things. So how did I get through it? I took my Garuda and my Batacore into some survival missions, and I played through probably about 30 minutes worth of survival missions just so I could get more mod capacity so that I could put some more mods on it. Problem is, I didn't have Endo, so I couldn't rank up my mods either. So it was a little bit of a balancing factor between, all right, what's most important for me to rank up to be able to get a bit more survivability and a little bit more DPS. So having a bit of background in the game gave me that advantage, because as soon as I did that, as soon as I ran Garuda and her weapons through some survivals and ranked them up and put a few key mods on there that I was able to rank up just a couple of points, I smashed through it. I was done. You know, 30 minutes later, I was finished the entire tutorial section, and not long after that, I was able to hold my own pretty much 80% of the time on any bounty that I chose to go in for, as long as it was the lowest level bounty. So that's my tip. If you don't have any mods or any good weapons or anything like that, probably avoid Fortuna for a little while. Thoughts, Lucas?
I think this is actually, you know, DE going in the right direction. You know, with Planes of Eidolon being on Earth, it's the first planet, it should be the easiest. And now they've stepped up their game and they've made things a little bit more difficult with their second planet open world map. So kudos to DE, that's fantastic, you're going in the right direction in my opinion. Also, the fact that the weapon, the enemies are so variant from previous Corpus enemies that we faced is great, because as Greg mentioned, they do act differently. They have a much wider variety of tricks up their sleeves. I think at one point you had one of those laser face guys hovering in the air with the Eximus frost bubble around him.
Yes.
That's a nightmare. That is nightmare fuel right there. especially with the state you were in, with no weapons of real damage. So getting through that frost bubble to hit that laser face, that's flying around, and not at a slow pace either. He's flying around quite quickly. Fantastic. Just well done, DE. For you know, doing something like this. The jackals, were they jackals or hyenas?
They were hyenas.
Hyenas. They were immune to your mag's pull, were they not?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, so it looks like there's even some enemies that are passively immune to Warframe abilities. So again, great job. Absolutely amazing. Way to step in the right direction and throw on a bit of a difficulty curve. That's my thoughts. Well done.
Yeah, they really did. I mean, the enemies don't look all that different. They do look different. They're a bit bulkier and chunkier, but they really behave differently. The mowers jump at you. The laser faces, sometimes they fly at you like Superman. And just things happen differently, and they've really shaken up the game. I love it. It was incredibly frustrating, but once I got on top of it and I was able to get through it, it was really satisfying, and it really does feel like a different game. It's not. It's the same old Warframe that we know and love, but it really feels like a different game, and it looks like a different game, and it's... like you said, kudos to DE for trying some different things. And they'll still be lambasted for it. I saw someone complaining on Twitter that Fortuna was just another version of Planes of Eidolon, and it was no different. It was the same kind of bounties. And I'm like, wait, did you even play it? Because it's pretty different, and it's a hell of a lot of fun. But, you know, you can't please everybody, I guess.
Yeah,
and that's life. So that's my beginner's tip. Now, the advanced tip, we haven't been able to play enough of Fortuna to be able to give an advanced tip, so this one is unfortunately not related to Fortuna, but that's fine. It's still an advanced tip. So what have you chosen for us this week, Lucas?
All right, so this week I'm actually going to go over a few of the rarer melee stance mods and how to acquire them, you know, what kind of weapons they're good for, and you know, my reasoning for picking these particular melee stances. So to start off the list, I'm going to go... I might work backwards, actually, just for shits and gigs. I'm going to start off with the Cleaving Whirlwind, which is a heavy blade stance. Reasoning behind Cleaving Whirlwind is because, well, heavy blades are amazing. There's nothing more thrilling than holding a massive, oversized sword in your hands and just cleaving your enemies apart. It's great. I know not everyone's going to agree, but for me, it's great.
I agree.
Thanks, Greg. So the weapons that have the share of polarity with Cleaving Whirlwind are the Galatine Prime, the Parasys, if for those who know what it is, and the War. So this particular mod is dropped by Ancient Disruptors and Tar Mutilist Mowers at a whopping 0.03% drop chance.
Yay!
More of a chance to get this than the condition overload, but...
Condition overload? Damn you, condition overload.
But it's still a pain in the ass. Or, if you wanted to, you could vie for the better drop chance at doing a... at doing the spy mission on Lua and successfully getting all three of the vaults hacked successfully. You will then have a 2.01% chance at acquiring the Cleaving Whirlwind mod. So
it's massive.
Oh, it's massive. It's leagues apart from the 0.03.
Well, it is almost 100 times.
Oh, yeah. 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 so that's where we're starting. We're starting with the Cleaving Whirlwind. Have fun, for those of you that don't yet have it.
It's worthwhile.
It's a great stance for any of those massive swords that I just spoke of. Moving on to the next one, I'm going to go with Four Riders stance, which is a claws type. And I feel like the claws are a bit underrated. I mean, Vanquish Prime is probably the only real claw type weapon that we really hear anyone play with. So
Hiruto, maybe.
No, that's a sparring weapon. Different weapon type.
Oh, is it really? I thought it was claws.
No, no. There's not many claws. Okay. Unfortunately. But
my bad.
Actually haven't checked to see whether or not these claws will go with what's her name? New one, Garuda. Garuda's passive claws. Don't know if it'll go with them, but that's something to look into. So the four riders were share a polarity with the Ripkas, the Venka, and the Venka Prime. And they are dropped by Grineer Mannix. Yes, Grineer Mannix, those pain in the ass guys that just kind of fade from nothing with their evil little cackles. And it has a massive 0.22% drop rate. Again, awesome. Again, have fun. It's definitely better than the 0.03. But this is the only way to get the four riders. I think they may have been available in one of the purchasable packs. But if you don't want to spend plat or money, then essentially Grineer Mannix are the way to go. Yay! And finally, I'm going to go on the bet. This one, because I'm a bit biased, and this is one of my favorite melee weapon types. So this is the Defiled Snapdragon, and it's for the Blade and Whip. As I said, I'm very biased. This is an underrated weapon. I think DE should add more. Maybe even a Zor. Shout out to DE, Megazor, Blade and Whip, please. But this mod essentially is the only stance mod for Blade and Whips. And it works on the Jatkusa, the Lacera, and the Mios. Mios is number one. And again, it's a pain in the ass to acquire because it's only dropped by Grineer Scorpions or Kuva Scorpions with a massive 0.03% drop chance.
There it is again.
I was lucky enough to acquire one of these, and it is easily one of the most beautiful displays of melee prowess I've seen in quite a while. It's spectacular. All of the combos are actually named after particular dragons. It's great. So, very biased on this one, but...
right up your alley.
Right up my alley. Defiled Snapdragons, 0.03. Look for it. It's worth it. And
I still don't have it.
You still don't have it. And that's pretty much all I got today. Do you have anything to add about any of those?
No, well, two of them I don't have, but strangely, the Cleaving Whirlwind, I've got like two or three of them. And still no condition overload. Damn you, world. But anyway, such is life. And Cleaving Whirlwind is amazing. Let's face it, it is easily the best, in my opinion. stance mod for the Galatine. Some people like Tempo Royale, but you know, they're wrong.
Well, Cleaving Whirlwind, you get to be a Beyblade.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with being a Beyblade. Cool. Thank you, Lucas, for your insight into these stance mods. So before we finish out for this week, we have a couple of community call-outs. So last night we decided to, because it was the Fortuna release day and everyone was excited, we decided to jump into general chat for a bit of a laugh. And Hot Cheese and your master 145, aka Bob, decided to join the general chat with us, and we had a bit of a chat. We actually had a long chat. We probably spoke for 4 or 5 hours in the end, all while playing the game, and I was working on some articles and things like that, and you know, drinking a lot of wine. And we had a good chat and a good laugh, and it was a good night. So hopefully we'll do that more often. So if you ever want to jump in the general chat and have a chat with the rest of us in Discord, feel free. It was a bit of fun. So thanks to those guys for having a chat with us. That was a good night.
Yeah, it was very, very enjoyable. Look forward to you know, interacting more with the community. Sorry that's taken us so long to actually decide to jump in general, but we will definitely be doing it more often in the weeks to come.
Why the hell not? Yeah. The next call out is for you, good sir, with your cookies.
Yes. It's been a while, but we've got another Discord Cephalon cookie call out, and this time it is for our good friend Vinyl Rich Tea. Now, last week I did the advanced topic on fishing for reputation, and our good Vinyl Rich Tea here decided that. Well, informed me that I had actually missed a spectacular little hack. I'm going to call it a hack. It's a hack. And just to increase the groffet of reputation. And it was basically using the Smetic of Vat with its charm mod and going fishing with your boosters. You actually end up getting double the double. So one fish actually ends up being four. Now, Rich T Vinyl, Vinyl Rich T did mention that he also used the same trick for wisp farming. And after just picking up two wisps, walked away with eight. So thank you so much for that, Vinyl Rich T. I will be definitely.
It's a fantastic.
I will definitely be using that one in the future. Definitely in Fortuna because I have a lot of rep to get. So
yeah, we all do.
Thank you so much.
That was another thing. The fishing, the electrical fishing, is a little bit different, and it's fun again. Not that it wasn't fun in Plains of Eidolon, but it's fun again. I really enjoyed it. I haven't tried mining yet. I do have the new mining tool, but I haven't tried it yet. But anyway, thanks, Vinyl Rich T. You definitely deserved a cookie, and I think you got one from both of us when you mentioned that.
Double the cookies. Awesome.
Double cookie. See, it was because you had your charm mod on.
That was bad.
That was pretty bad. That's all right. I'm a dad. Dad's jokes. Anyway, thank you for listening to episode 17. Hopefully you're as excited about Fortuna as we are. I really hope we'll see Fortuna come out on consoles within the next couple of weeks rather than months, because god damn it's good. Plains of Eidolon was good, but Fortuna is amazing. Maybe I'm biased because, you know, I love the game so much that I started a podcast about it. Who knows? But it really is damn good. So thanks for listening to episode 17. We'll have more, I'm sure, next week, but I'm expecting there to be a dev stream, so looking forward to that. We'll have our mini up in the middle of the week. We haven't decided what modding stuff we'll do, but it'll definitely be Melee. It may end up being all Melee, but we haven't spoken about it yet. It probably will, because it's similar to secondaries, I think. Episode notes will be going up within the next 12 hours. I was a little late last week, but this week I'm on top of things, I think, so I should be able to get them out. I might even get them out tonight. So check the website, www.cephalonsquared.com. It's going nuts. We're updating it pretty much daily, sometimes more than once a day. Lots of good information. I'd love tips, tricks, guides, anything. If you fancy yourself to be a bit of a writer and you want to write for the site, reach out to me. I need all the help I can get. Go to our Facebook page, Cephalon Squared, or our Facebook group, Cephalon Collective. We have Cephalon Squared on Twitter, our Discord page or our Discord group channel, whatever the hell it's called, Discord server, is going great guns. I recommend you join it if you are of that ilk. Hit us up for an invite. Otherwise, just keep talking to us. We love to hear from you guys. Give us a rating on your podcast platform and give us a review as well. We need to hear from as many people as we can. Spread the word, help us grow, help us get out there. Now is the time. My name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules all over the place. Lucas, who are you?
I am Lucas. I am Silverlight all over the place. SilverLght.
And that is us. Thanks to Yarn at Disco_Box on Twitter for the intro and outro. It made me laugh when Hot Cheese mentioned, because I was talking about Yarn last night, and he mentioned, oh, it's Disco_Box on Twitter, and we laughed, because I didn't realize people actually generally listen to the end of the show, but hey, here's a wink to you, Cheese. Wink. thanks everyone for listening. We will see you again in just a few short days. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, send an email to cephalonsquared@gmail.com or get in touch via Twitter or Facebook. You can also join our Discord or send us a voice message via the Anchor app. See you next week.